This morning, as we come to our passage of Scripture, I want to invite some of you to stay by for second service. Some of you already will, by virtue of your young people singing. But Pastor Steve Vail will be preaching second service as part of our Revelation seminar that he's been leading out in over the last few months. And we're just excited about what God is doing, how God is changing people's lives. And this is what our journey about God's call for us to be holy like Him in the world is all about. That we have no holiness of our own apart from God. We have no holiness except what is extended to us by God through Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And God says to every one of us, I want you to be holy like I am holy. And I know if you love me, you're going to want to be like me in the world. And we've been journeying from week to week, learning different aspects of what it means to be holy and how holiness can touch our lives and how we, when we are filled with the presence of the Holy God, we extend God's holiness into the world. That's how God manifests Himself in the world, through people like you and I. And we've been focusing the last couple of weeks in particular on some very practical aspects of holiness. And today is another one of them. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word, Your Holy Word. And we pray, Father, that as we open Your Holy Word, that our hearts will be open to the Holy Spirit. And that holy angels will come and surround us. This gathering of worship, that we will have ears to hear, and that the greatest desire, the greatest longing of our hearts will be to be like You in the world, holy. Not in our own strength, but through what is extended to us in Jesus Christ. Bless my lips, bless my mind, bless these words, bless our sharing together in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you will remember I was just in Armenia and Georgia and Russia. And while driving through the bustling capital city of Armenia called Yerevan, I often passed sheepfolds, folds of sheep alongside of the road every morning, en route from our motel to the Armenia Mission Conference. And I was always captured by the picture. As we drove by, we sped by, you'd see a huddle of sheep, those brown-colored sheep in their pen, in a circle, perfect circle, right there. Most of these sheepfolds were just tucked off the road and a pasture near a stand of woods, and to see those sheep in a round circle in a wire-penned cage. You couldn't see the wire in the early morning light, but you could make out the sheep just crammed, jam-packed in there, faces and heads going in all different directions and just really cluttered in there. And you could make out the muddy, yucky manure, a grassless area around their pen. And you could see the shepherd there with his rod that looked more like a willow switch, kind of leaning out over the sheepfold with these sheep jam crammed in there. I noticed that every morning as we drove by, there were a couple sheep that were not in the pen. They were not running loose, nor were they tied at a post, but rather they were hanging upside down on a horizontal bar suspended between two posts. And it was not uncommon for me to see the woolly skin of a sheep laying over the arm of the shepherd as he was skinning that sheep, or to see the reddish meat and the milky texture of bone and of tendons of a fully skinned carcass. And So as I drove by, I thought of the reality that every day there were some sheep that did not make it. They would be pulled out from the pen. They would be pulled out from life itself. Their throats would be slit. They would be hung upside down for their blood to be drained. They would be skinned. Then they would be taken to the butcher, where their meat then would become shish kebab in a restaurant or mutton in the open market. It was an everyday drama. Every day a lamb was sacrificed for the unending appetite of human beings. And their bodies literally were part of that exchange. Now Paul brings us to this profound image of offering a lamb. When he talks to us about offering our bodies as a living, holy sacrifice to a holy God. And he has the sacrificial system in mind, the sacrificing of a lamb, and the idea that a lamb was brought and sacrificed. But a point of the sacrificial system that we often overlook is that every sacrifice was a living sacrifice. God did not allow any dead sacrifices to be brought to Him. If an animal was dead, He didn't want it. He only wanted living sacrifices. And Paul picks up on that image and says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy, without blemish, nothing defiling. That's what God wants. That word to present is the same. It means to bring into the presence of someone. It means to consecrate. It's the same word that is used of Mary when she brought Jesus and presented Him before the high priest or before the priest in consecration or dedication. The lamb did not have a choice because the shepherd or the sinner sacrificed that lamb or presented that lamb. But Paul is implying that we have choice and we make choice. And so we bring ourselves to God. And when we bring ourselves to God, it is our bodies that we are bringing to God. And if we want to honor a holy God in an unholy world, then our bodies are part of that experience of bringing holiness into the world. Our bodies are part of that experience of bringing honor and glory to God. When God says, I want you to be holy like I am holy, and I know if you love me, you will want to be like me, then it is our bodies that are included in that whole experience. Now I'm going to state a very obvious but profound truth. And that is simply this, that whatever life we live, whatever life you live, it is lived in our body. It is lived in your body. I ask you the question, have you ever done anything without your body? Have you ever done anything without your body? It is impossible because we are body creatures. Absolutely everything we do is with our body, including thinking. There can be no human activity that does not involve the body. And so when we're talking about being holy like God in the world, our bodies are automatically in God's view. Redemption of the body and holiness of body is part of God's plan for His people in an unholy, lost world. Now there's another profound truth that I want to focus on for just a few moments. Recently, our 8th grade class down at the village school had a very vigorous debate, I understand, on the subject of cloning. And various young people took different sides of the issue, and one of my sons, my 8th grade son, was a cellular scientist. He took the role of a cellular scientist who had already produced two human clones, or at least one human clone, and now he was on the spot defending himself before lawyers and senators. And I heard that it was a very vigorous debate. I don't know how it all ended up, but I do know that in leading up to that debate, there were powwow groups trying to figure out the logic, the best way to explain and approach and get the opposing side sidetracked. And my son had a line of logic that he and his friends had worked out. And if you can only get them to say yes and no to certain questions, you've got them. And so he tried it out on me one night. He said, "Daddy," and you know, with this air of confidence, he started it all out. He said, "Daddy," he said, "do you own your body?" "No," I said, instantly deflating him. He didn't expect me to say that. "No, we don't." I said, "Now, if you accept the evolutionary theory, you know, then one might say, yeah, I own my body, but the Bible, the Scriptures have a total different view. We do not own our body, as it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19. It was read for us earlier here this morning. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. "Do you not know that your body is a what?" Tell me, what is the body? It's a temple of the Holy Spirit, a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, that you are not your what? You are not your own. Let's say it together. You are not your own. Now let's say it differently. I am not my own. I belong to God. Amen? All right. So what Paul is saying, look what is true about yourselves. You already belong to God. Now, present your body. Present your very self as a living sacrifice to a holy God. The Lord Himself took ownership of your body from the moment that you trusted Jesus Christ. His death was the price tag for the purchase of your life. And so we come back to a theme that we began to develop last Sabbath, where Jesus says, "Give to Caesar's what is Caesar's, but give to God what is God's." Last Sabbath we learned that there is a holy tithe. And God asks us to give what is holy to Him. Right? Today we learn that our bodies are God's. And we learned last Sabbath the principle that what belongs to God is holy. It's not profane. It's not common. It's not defiled. What belongs to God is holy. And if we belong to God, our bodies belong to God, then we must see ourselves in that line of holiness. Thus Paul says, present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice unto God. The whole range, now get me, the whole range of what pertains to the body, in that whole range of what pertains to the body, I encounter God's presence and God's claims on my life. There's not a part of my body or an expression or experience of my body, but what God's claims of holiness are not on me. Now, I want to sift our thinking for just a moment. I want to bring our minds back to the 60s and the 70s, that struggle between Vietnam and values in American society. I want us to envision those disillusioned young men and women who openly and defiantly rebelled against the establishment and against the war machine. They rejected the establishment. They rejected the up-and-coming entrepreneurs, the career people, and often they were rejected themselves by mom and dad. And so we had a generation of lonely, forsaken, friendless young people who traveled the country in buses, who lived in the streets, who strummed their guitars through the night, higher than a kite on marijuana and drugs and finding closeness in free sex. Paul Simon, you will remember, gave them a song to sing back in 1969. That song reassured them that whatever else that they might experience in life, when everything else fails and falls, when there's nothing but trouble all around them, there's one thing that they could get through, or that would enable them to get through the problems of life, and that was a friend. That friend will be like a bridge over the troubled waters of their life. And so the words of the song go, when you're down and out, when you're on the street, when everything falls so hard, I will comfort you. I will take your part. Oh, when darkness comes and pain is all around, like a bridge over troubled waters, I will lay me down. And the interesting thing about this song is, when your life is troubled, I'm not going to give you a book to read. When your life is troubled, I'm not going to tell you, go over there and find relief. No, when your life is in pain, I'm going to lay me down in your behalf. All right? I want to take this image, okay, of a bridge over troubled waters, and I want to connect it to the biblical imagery of the body. All right? Like a friend, get me now, watch me, follow me. Like a friend is a bridge over troubled waters, a body presented to God as a living sacrifice is a bridge over unholy waters. Because it is a glimpse of what God is like in an unholy world and gives assurance and gives hope to people who are caught in an unholy, broken, defiling, dying world. Now, what am I saying here? In the New Testament, our body is the point of contact for relationships. Our point of contact for relationships with other people, our point of contact of relationship with God, and our point of contact of relationship with what is sinful and what is righteous. In other words, human relationships are a body experience. The body is an instrument for behaving and acting. The body of the individual Christian is placed or located in the body of the local community, which is the church. Each individual body is connected to others, and together they constitute the body of Jesus Christ. And this body of Christ is in the world. The body of each individual Christian is thus like a bridge connecting to other Christians and connecting to the world. Because the body is not our own. It is never seen as our own in the Bible, but rather the body is a social reality because the body is what other human beings see. The body is what other human beings relate to. That's how our bodies become the point of contact between God's holiness and an unholy world. Remember, we've touched on it several times in our journey through holiness. We have no holiness apart from God extended it to us in Jesus Christ. And God does not extend His holiness to us just for ourselves, but He extends His holiness to us in order that we might be an extension of His holiness in the world. God extends His holiness in the world through the likes of people like you and I. Unholy and unworthy people are filled with the holiness and the presence of God. And as bodily creatures, they live real lives in the world. And other people see their bodies. And other people see what they do with their bodies. And other people see how they dress their bodies. And other people see what they put into their bodies. And other people then get a glimpse of what God would do if He was again in a body in this world. When the world sees us, they see our body and all that we do with our body. How we eat, how we play, wearing of our clothing, our work, how we respond to situations, whether we help with our bodies, whether we hurt with our bodies, they see the expressions on our faces. So our bodies are the bridges over unholy waters of this world, giving a dying world a glimpse of holiness, a glimpse of what is right, a glimpse of what is true, a glimpse of what is pure, a glimpse of what is loving, a glimpse of what it means to be like God in the world. What an awesome picture.
That's why Paul says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice. Your bodies are to be holy in the world. And that means that presenting my body to God as a living sacrifice includes everything I do with my body, everything I do to my body, and everything that I do for my body. It is all in view in this question of holiness. And let's take the tongue, for instance. As James puts it in his little book, the tongue is a small part of the body. Small part of the body. And yet, if the tongue is not consecrated to God, this is what James says, it is a flame of fire. It is full of wickedness that can ruin your whole life. It can turn the entire course of your life into a blazing fire of destruction, for it is set on fire by hell itself. And James goes on to talk about how the tongue, out of the tongue, can come blessing and cursing pouring out of the same mouth. Now, I was sitting in a home the other evening, talking with somebody who has set a date for baptism in the near future. And we were talking about different aspects of God's claims on their life. And just out of the blue, they started talking about their mouth. They said, you know, God has really been convicting me about my mouth. And, that was a surprise to me. I hadn't really heard anything bad come out of that mouth before. But this person said at work, you know, some really nasty things have come out of their mouth. And so as we talked about it and how the Holy Spirit was convicting them about their mouth, I made the comment, I said, you know, when the Holy Spirit does change your mouth, everybody around you, everybody at work will know the change. They will see it. They will notice it. And God will be the one who is honored. And so the tongue must be presented to God continually as an instrument of righteousness, and that presentation must be sealed with a prayer like David gives in Psalms 141:3, take control of what I say, O Lord, and keep my lips sealed. That's part of holiness of body. And we could bring our eyes into the picture, the same consecration. You read the book of Job. Job consecrated his eyes as a safeguard against sexual lust. He says, I made a covenant with my eyes. I made an agreement with my eyes that I would not allow my eyes to linger very long on a woman who was not my wife. Now, the eyes are part of the body. Solomon admonishes us with a similar ethic. In Proverbs, he says, let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. You will remember how I shared a year ago my travels with my son and a few of his friends through Europe. And I told you about some of the graphic billboards and imagery and the pornography that's just right out there on the street and the way women are dressing and so forth there in some of these European cities. And my son confided to my wife. You'll remember this. My son confided to my wife, we were watching Daddy. That's right. They were watching where my eyes went and where they didn't go. It's amazing, eyes even. And then in Proverbs 6 talks about haughty eyes and a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong. You have hands and feet and words and behavior. These are all fundamental parts of what it means to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice to God. It's holiness comes down to what we do with our body. And I think of that night with my father when he started talking about hands, and he showed me how he started writing an article about hands, and And he sat there. It was a Friday evening. The sun was setting. It was probably one of the most profound Vespers messages I had ever heard. And I heard it from my own father. He was talking about hands and how hands can touch and heal, how hands can welcome, how hands can bless, how hands can assure, but how hands can strangle, how hands can hurt, how hands can tear, how hands can lift a rifle and pull a trigger. And when he said that, the look on his face gave me the impression that maybe his hands at one time had done that. The body. And presenting our body to God as a holy sacrifice includes our sexuality. Most of us will be surprised if you turn to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13. Most of us will be surprised to learn that verse that says you're not your own, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. That verse comes at the heels of a discussion about our sexuality. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and I've been to Corinth, and Corinth is on a plain there at a seaport area, but a little ways tucked back into the distance, you see this big mountain just sticking out of the plain, a high-rise mountain. And up on top of that mountain was a temple with thousands of male and female prostitutes. And men and women would trek their way up that mountain for a spiritual experience. And Paul was saying, he says it here, the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. Very profound words on the part of the apostle where he talks about our bodies are members of Christ Jesus. And in a world where bodies are used in all kinds of degrading ways in expressing sexuality, God's Word calls for a purity of body when it comes to the expressing our sexuality. Before marriage and within marriage. Presenting our bodies to God as a holy sacrifice includes eating and drinking. Whatever you eat or whatever you drink, do all to the glory of God. We have that one down pat as Seventh-day Adventists, but we are drifting from it as Seventh-day Adventists. We know the pat words. We know, but yet in our lifestyle, it's not happening. Presenting our body to God as a holy sacrifice includes our appearance. That has to do with gender distinction. It has to do with modesty of dress. It has to do with simplicity and fashions and jewelry and piercings and the way that we appear, because body is a social reality in the Bible. Our bodies are not our own. Other people see our bodies. God is manifesting His holiness through our bodies. So as the world sees us, we are giving them cues of where our loyalties and where our identity is. I think of the distinctive apparel of Israel. You could tell an Israelite from the rest of the world. I think of the reconversion experience of Jacob and his family at Bethel, where before they came before the Lord, they changed their clothes and they removed things from their bodies. You see, the world needs to see a difference, not just to hear about that difference, not just to read about that difference. The world needs to see a difference. And seeing is where the power of the Holy Spirit is unleashed through human beings who are willing to be God's holy presence in an unholy world. This is how our bodies become bridges over unholy waters, because it is the people of an unholy, lost, dying world that see the change and the difference of the body of someone who is owned by Jesus Christ. Their body is a powerful witness for Jesus Christ in the world. Turn with me to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, in closing, I want to talk about Jesus here for a moment. We have an incredible pattern to follow in Jesus Christ. The heart of Jesus was to do the Father's will. But to do the Father's will, Jesus had to have a body. The writer of Hebrews attributes these words to Jesus, beginning in Hebrews 10, verse 5. That is why Christ, when He came into the world, said, "You did not want animal sacrifices and grain offerings. Now listen. But you have given Me a what?" What? Come on, what is it? A what? "You have given Me a body so that I may obey You." Isn't that awesome? Jesus says, "You've given Me a body so that I may obey You." And then Jesus goes on to live an obedient life. Jesus, the body of Jesus was a consecrated vessel, a sacred instrument for the Father's use. And only the bodily sacrifice of the spotless Son of God, the spotless Lamb of God, could satisfy the holiness of God in the world. Only Christ could carry out the Father's will. Now, get what Peter says. Listen to what Peter says. Peter tells us that we are made holy only by the submission of Christ to the Father's will through the voluntary presentation of His body. Listen to what Peter says. "And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness." Jesus was a bridge over unholy waters. His body was a literal bridge over unholy waters. In order that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And I suggest that that is our calling in the world as Seventh-day Adventist Christians. That our bodies, our lives lived out in our bodies, is like a bridge over unholy waters to connect with dying people, to enable them to die to sin and experience righteousness and the holy in their eye. I praise God for what Jesus did for me in His body. Consecration of Himself for me. And the Holy Spirit of God, through the Holy Word of God, calls every one of us to make that same kind of body consecration and surrender to the living God. Whatever you do to your body, whatever you do with your body, and whatever you do for your body, expresses whether or not God is in your heart or not. And this living God says, "I want you to be holy like I am holy. I know if you love Me, you'll want to be like Me. And I'm here to empower you, to strengthen you, to give you what you need so that you can be that bridge to a dying world."
You've been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International Copyright 2004, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. For additional cassettes or CDs by this speaker, or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministries resources, please contact us as follows. Visit our secure website at www.americancassette.org. Our entire catalog is online, plus thousands of other selections to choose from. We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover credit cards. Our email address is info@americancassette.org. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 800-233-4450. For international orders, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 717-652-9050. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108, in the United States of America. Maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages for 29 years, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry? To prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.